Elder David Bruce Haight, Devoted Disciple, September 2, 1906, to the 31st of July, 2004. As a youth, David B. Haight came close to death on two occasions. Once when he was thrown from a runaway buggy, and a second time when he hit his head while diving into a swimming hole. "I think the Lord was preserving his life in his early years for a great purpose," said his son Robert. Quoted in Ronald E. Pullman, Elder David B. Haight, Joy in Lifting Others, Tambuli, September 1987, page 20, or Ensign, September 1986, page 12. Indeed, the Lord had plans for young David. He would later be called to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, eventually becoming, at age 97, the oldest apostle in the history of the Church. His service in the apostleship ended on July 31, 2004, when he passed away in Salt Lake City of causes incident to age. He was remembered as a devoted disciple during a funeral service held on the 5th of August in the Tabernacle on Temple Square. A powerful testimony. Elder Haight stirred the hearts of people across the earth with his declaration of faith and his testimony of the living reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, said the First Presidency in a media statement. He has borne that witness on many continents and has been influential in the Church he loved. At his departure, our hearts reach out to his beloved companion, Ruby, and their children. Elder Haight was known for his extemporaneous talks at General Conference, which were filled with down-to-earth anecdotes and expressions of his deep and abiding testimony of the gospel's truthfulness. In his most recent conference address given last April, he declared, "God lives. He loves us, as we should love Him. The gospel is true. I know it. I am a witness of it. How great the wisdom and the love." Liahona and Ensign, May 2004, page 6. Commitment and Charity. David Bruce Haight was born on the 2nd of September, 1906, in Oakley, Idaho, to Hector C. Haight and Clara Tuttle Haight. In his early life, he experienced the deaths of his father and four of his siblings due to illness. These painful losses gave him compassion and understanding for those who faced adversity in their own lives. Despite such difficult experiences, he described himself as a typical boy growing up in a country town. Quoted in Jerry Avant, Elder Haight recognized what really is great moment in life. Church News, November 24, 1985, page 5. The Church was an important influence throughout his life, but a turning point in his commitment to the gospel occurred during World War II, when he was serving as a lieutenant commander in the United States Navy. After leaving his family behind in California to fly to Honolulu, Hawaii, he spent a sleepless night in the back of an airplane, reappraising his life and pouring out his heart in prayer. Although he had served in many church callings and had been serving in a bishopric, he decided he wasn't as dedicated as he should have been. "I've often thought maybe that was my road to Damascus, as I thought about my family that I left back on that landing dock out in the bay," he later said. "I made a total commitment that I would never question a call from the Lord. I would use whatever few talents I had to build the kingdom if I might survive my involvement in that conflict." Quoted in the Church News, November 24, 1985, page 5. He kept that promise, later serving as the president of the Palo Alto, California Stake, as president of the Scottish Mission, and as a regional representative prior to his call in April 1970 as an assistant to the 12. On January 8, 1976, he was ordained an apostle. Elder Haight knew that regardless of the callings he was given, the essence of gospel living is charity, the pure love of Christ. As he told one of his grandsons, "The Lord isn't going to be concerned about whether you were a bishop or a stake president or apostle. He's going to be concerned about how you treated people." Quoted in Tambuli, September 1987, page 22, also from the Ensign, September 1986, page 14. Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles has remarked upon Elder Haight's awareness of the needs of others, offering this example. Elder Haight read the newspaper account of a young man, an experienced swimmer, who drowned trying to save others whose canoe had capsized. David did not know the family, but his heart went out to them. He attended the viewing at the mortuary, where he extended his sympathy to the widow and the parents of the young man. Elder Haight's concern for them opened the way for the parents to become active in the church. Elder Haight later performed the temple sealing of the parents to their three sons, including the young man who had passed away. Lucille C. Tate, David B. Haight, The Life Story of a Disciple, 1987, page 288. A 74-year courtship. Many of Elder Haight's talks were sprinkled with references to his beloved wife, Ruby. Young David first saw Ruby Olson at a dance he was attending with another young woman. As he and his date observed the other dancers, the cutest girl he had seen in his life came dancing by with her date. David watched the high-spirited young woman in the red dress dance by several times, and then asked his date if she knew that girl. His date responded that they were sorority sisters. Now, this is not the way to win friends and influence people, but I asked my date if she would introduce me to Ruby sometime, Elder Haight recalled. That introduction never occurred, but a short time later, Ruby applied for a position at the store David managed. She was hired. When he asked her for a date, she told him she already had a date that evening. He remembered I asked what time her date was coming. She said at 8 o'clock. I said, how about my coming at 6? Quoted in Church News, November 24, 1985, page 5. The relationship soon became exclusive, and later the couple married in the Salt Lake Temple on September 4, 1930. Their courtship continued throughout their almost 74 years of marriage. Elder Haight's secretary, Linda Daly, recalls an experience she had when visiting the Haights earlier this year. Their housekeeper let me in, and she motioned to me not to make any noise. She said, look in the living room, and there were Elder and Sister Haight, as ill as Elder Haight had been, and the two of them were in the living room, dancing together. I thought that was one of the sweetest things I had ever seen. 97 years old, and at that time Sister Haight was 93, in the living room, dancing without music. They didn't need music. They had the music in their hearts. Elder and Sister Haight have 3 children, 18 grandchildren, and 78 great-grandchildren. Professional career. Elder Haight had a long, successful professional career. He completed his schooling at Utah State University and served in managerial and executive positions for department stores in Utah, California, and Illinois, finally owning a group of retail stores in the 1950s. From 1959 to 1963, he was mayor of Palo Alto, California. He was in his second term when he was called to serve as president of the Scottish Mission. After his service as mission president, Elder Haight worked as an assistant to the president of Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, prior to being called as an assistant to the 12. A life of righteousness. Elder Haight's legacy benefits not only his posterity, but all members of the church who have been inspired by his testimony and his faith in Jesus Christ. In a general conference address, he urged members to have that testimony, that desire in our hearts, to teach others, to explain what we believe, and to live lives of righteousness, to be an example to mankind, and to be able to spread this work not only by what we say, but by the way we act. From Faith, Devotion, and Gratitude, Liahona, July 2000, page 42, Ensign, May 2002, page 35. Elder Haight was a living example of what he taught. Sidebar. Much-loved apostle remembered by his brethren. At his funeral, speakers offered the following tributes to Elder David B. Haight. President Gordon B. Hinckley. He recognized that each of the human family was a child of God, and that we are all therefore brothers and sisters. He carried in his heart an appreciation of all whom he came to know, regardless of their religious affiliation. He knew his place and his unique responsibility as one who testifies of the living reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. President Thomas S. Monson, first counselor in the First Presidency. There was no chink in his armor. There was no guile in his soul. There was no flaw in his character. Elder Haight loved the Lord with all his heart and soul, and served him with all his might to the very end of his mortal life. President James E. Faust, second counselor in the first presidency. His greatest work was among people as a devoted disciple of Christ. Thousands and thousands of lives have been directly touched by his unique caring to many. He was uncompromising in doing what was right. President Boyd K. Packer, acting president of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Death is an essential part of life. Elder Haight is now in paradise. We know something about what paradise is like and what David B. Haight will be doing. God bless the memory of David B. Haight. End of sidebar. End of the article, Elder David Bruce Haight, Devoted Disciple.